This is KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein. U.S. economic growth is still somewhat sluggish, and the unemployment rate remains high. Those factors could end up affecting which party holds majorities in the House and Senate. Douglas Holtz-Aiken is a former director of the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. He also advised Senator John McCain's 2008 presidential campaign. He'll be in Scottsdale tomorrow, speaking at the Association for Corporate Growth's Mergers and Acquisitions Conference, and he joins me now. Doug, how will the average American's financial condition be affected by the outcome of the 2014 House and Senate races?
I think it's very important, but it's not just the election that matters. Suppose, for example, that Republicans do in fact gain control of the U.S. Senate. What will matter at that point are two types of leadership. The first will be the Republicans themselves. How will they run the Senate? Will they seek to get, you know, political retribution for the slights that they feel they've received at the hands of Harry Reid and the Democrats, including changing rules on nominations and things? Or will they say, we want to run the Senate consistent with its bipartisan history of civility and accommodation? I would hope for the latter, that the Republicans could rise above, think about the institution, and start getting some things done. The second piece of that equation is the president himself. You know, will he embrace the ability to get something done while working with Republicans? Or will he simply say, we're playing defense, we've accomplished enough, there's 2 years, here we go? I don't know the answer to either of those questions, but I think it matters a lot more the kinds of leadership we get as opposed to just the number of R's and D's in different seats.
I interview a lot of economists. You're obviously a very prominent economist as well. Why is it that we pay so much attention to what economists think? And I'm saying this from a standpoint that here in Arizona, the real estate crash destroyed the economy. And this is a place that usually recovered faster in past recessions, actually recovering slower than other states. And a lot of people are anticipating back to normal job growth by 2013. Now it's 2016. What factors do economists look at the average person should really follow closely?
So I think economists are very good at a couple of things. They're good at giving you a sense of magnitudes, what's a big and what's a small impact on the economy. And, you know, politics is all about anecdotes and the power of images about people and their emotions. Economics is the flip side. It's, well, what's really big and small here, no matter what seems to be potent politically. I think that serves economists well. I think they're very good at deciding how to design policies once objectives are set out. You know, what are we trying to do here? Go do it. Good technicians in that regard. They're terrible at two things. Number one is settling what those objectives should be. They're no better than anyone else at deciding, do we want to have an Affordable Care Act versus an EPA law? Those large public policy priorities, I think they overstate their ability to influence, and they're terrible at forecasting. Unfortunately, that's where they pay most attention to economists, myself included. You know, they always want to know what's going to happen, and the answer is, we don't have any better ability to see the future than anyone else. And so we can tell you what will happen if none of the unexpected happens, but that's literally not going to be the case. So we get a really bad reputation out of the poor forecast. I was director of the Congressional Budget Office during the period when Social Security reform was a hot topic, and the CBO had put together some quite impressive computer modeling of Social Security reforms, and including little simulations of marriages, divorces, childbirths, name it, and everything that went on in the economy and what would affect your Social Security benefits. And I had a good senator ask me sincerely, you know, how good is this model? You know, you've got these 100-year forecasts. Do you believe them? I said, well, let's think back. If 100 years ago we'd made the same forecast, we would have missed World War I, the Great Depression, World War II, oh, and the advent of the Social Security system itself. The numbers themselves sort of give you some qualitative information about what different reforms will do, but you shouldn't believe the numbers. The forecasts are just very, very slippery.
Can economic ideas cross the ideological spectrum, especially if you're not an elected official? In the current political scene, can people with divergent ideas actually compromise, or does it have to be, well, you're a Keynesian, or you believe in the Laffer curve, or whatever it may be?
I think there can be compromise, and my own experience, you know, at the CBO, I saw advisors from both sides, you know, agreeing on things. I saw politicians on both sides getting to agreement on things. When I was on the McCain campaign, you know, some of my professional colleagues were on the Obama campaign. I've known them for years, and we knew the things about which we agreed and disagreed. And I've since worked with some of the folks who've worked in the White House. And Jared Bernstein was the the chief economic advisor to Vice President Biden. Jared's a close friend and someone where we sit down and talk and say, yeah, you and I could get there. Now see if we can get the system to agree. But, you know, it's not just ideology that separates economists. There are places where sometimes we just disagree as a matter of professional judgment, and then it's harder to get everyone to compromise.
Former Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner is out with a new book about his experience in that office. Do you plan to read it?
I was a member of a congressionally chartered Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission.
Hmm.
We spent 2 years studying the crisis, wrote a final report and some dissenting reports. The commission in the end couldn't come to an agreement on a report. But I've now covered that territory pretty carefully. Mr. Geithner testified in front of the commission. I think I've heard his views, so I'm not sure I want to read the book again. And to be honest, you know, living through that one more time is not my favorite idea.
Did the Fed, did the Obama administration do what they had to do at a time, or did you think they overacted?
I think they underacted, overacted, did the wrong thing, did some of the right things. It was a mix, and I'm pretty forgiving because it was very hard to figure out what was going on in real time. It's very difficult to make good decisions in those circumstances. There will be mistakes made. I mean, I think no question. But to my eye, the single best response was that done by the Fed. The Fed really did something which is quite amazing. It went from a reactive sort of Bear Stearns is falling apart, what do we do? Lehman's falling apart, what do we do? AIG, Fannie and Freddie, sort of piece by piece reactive to these institutions. And instead it said, no, the problem here is markets are frozen. Let's recreate the commercial paper market. Let's recreate the overnight market. And they just incredibly quickly set up these facilities that flooded markets with cash. And that's the central banker's remedy to all financial panics, and it worked very well. I think they deserve a lot of credit for how quickly things stopped falling. Since then, they've been essentially incapable of pushing the economy faster. We're still struggling, but they did a great job in the moment.
When we talk about the possible change of Republicans taking control of the Senate, keeping control of the House, what can elected officials do about improving the economy? I'm going to say what can be considered a fair way, but let's say in a really robust way. Or do we as voters put way too many expectations on that happening?
I think by and large, there's a limited amount that any Congress and or administration can do, especially quickly on the economy. And that probably the biggest mistake economists have made is overselling both the quality of their insights and the quickness of their cures. It's just a tough business. Having said that, there are some things that I think we know we need to do, which could have some benefits in the near term as well. So I don't think there's any great confusion about the quality of America's infrastructure. There's a lot of places where we could do better. We know our tax code is an utter disaster area. We'd do a lot better if we took the tax code out of the chief role in running business decisions or household decisions and just, you know, let people pay their taxes in a simple way and move on.
Douglas Holtz-Aiken is former director of the nonpartisan U.S. Congressional Budget Office. He'll be in Scottsdale later this week as part of the Association for Corporate Growth's Southwest Mergers and Acquisitions Conference taking place at the Fairmont Scottsdale Princess. Doug, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.